It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Everybody, hey, I'm not Paul. Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul Feinbaum. I used to be in this chair a lot, and I've not been in this chair, I mean, couple years, definitely pre-COVID, like summer of 2019 pre-COVID, like way back. They've asked, but I've been, you know, had other stuff going, it's great to be back. And Paul is, where is Paul? Is Paul, speaking somewhere or something? Speaking engagement.
Yes.
There you go. He's working on that retirement fund.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
The 401k tour.
I gotta figure out how to get on the Paul speaking engagement tour. But, yeah, Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul Feinbaum for the next few hours, and it's going to be good. It's good to be back in the – I haven't worn a necktie in a really long time, and I went back and I was like – I watched the show all the time, and I'm like, Paul's wearing ties. So it's a Millennium Falcon tie, but it's still a necktie.
Yeah.
So that we don't wear neckties on Marty McGee. All right, how about some headlines? ESPN.com. Listen, we're going to talk about this throughout the entire show today, I guarantee. Mark Slaybaugh cranks out, as most of y'all know, the way too early top 25. Literally works on it in the press box, the first edition of it, during the national championship game. He was doing that back in January. And his latest edition is out, and he actually is going to join us a little later. But Alabama's number one, Kel Surprise. The defending national champs are number three. Also, Slaybaugh's alma mater. He lives right there in Athens. Ohio State. How about Utah at number four? There's Texas A&M. Finally, maybe, perhaps, last time they won a national championship, not making this up, Gone with the Wind was number one at the box office. And maybe they got a chance to right that wrong. Notre Dame. North Carolina State.
Didn't see that one coming.
What?
Who?
NC State. Now, listen. Hometown number three for me, Raleigh, lived there the longest, grew up a State fan, the Tennessee of the East, as I like to call it. But that is unprecedented territory for North Carolina State. Of course, this isn't the actual top 25, it's Slaybaugh's. Then Michigan State ahead of Michigan. That should elicit some telephone calls. Oklahoma State, that'll make somebody around here happy. And then, all right, there you go. Clemson outside the top 10. And USC almost in the top 10. Hey, does Paul like Lincoln Riley? I don't think Paul likes Lincoln Riley.
Not at all.
I noticed that because I listen to the show all the time, and my brother will be happy to see Wake Forest sitting there. And how about Woo Pig Suey sitting there at number 20?
The Pitman's coming.
There you go. The Pitman is coming. And there's here we go. Here's the SEC chant. In the final five spots, we got Ole Miss. We got Kentucky. And then go Vols, VFL, GBO, and all that stuff. Tennessee sitting at number 24.
Wow.
And, all right, so I was – honestly, I was getting a little worried because that was a little – it wasn't super SEC heavy. It was our top three, right? And then it was – it took us a minute to get to another big cluster of SEC schools, and there they were in that last five. And I'm very, very curious about, as everyone should be, about the rankings of some of those teams. How about Woo Pig Suey? Sitting at number 20. We're going to talk about this today. The team with the best chance of making a run at Alabama, CBS Sports, they say it's Ole Miss. Slaybaugh doesn't seem to agree with that because I believe I saw the Hogs ranked ahead of Ole Miss. But CBSSports.com says Ole Miss has the best chance of knocking off Alabama in the top spot. And this despite the fact with the NFL draft right around the corner, that Matt Corral is probably – I've seen him ranked about 30th in all the mock drafts. So he won't be there, but Lane Kiffin will be. And according to CBSSports.com, that's the best team with a chance to knock the tide, to stem the tide, as they say. Speaking of the draft, probably going back to wait a year for the trend of the SEC players being the number one pick in the draft. I mentioned Matt Corral. I mentioned him just briefly. So there's Joe Burrow. All right, y'all see a pattern here? I'm not good at math, but this looks like about every 3 years. 2020, Joe Burrow. 2017, Myles Garrett. 2014, Mr. Clowney, Cam, Stafford. Bucked the trend just a little bit there, a couple two-year gaps. But, yeah, that's primarily going all the way back to Eli Manning back in the day, who's now retired. That's 3-year deals. I'm terrible at math. That feels like that's about an average of about 3 years. Yeah. Speaking of the draft, look at this here now. We have two draft experts joining the show. Todd McShay is going to join us at the bottom of this hour to talk about what we just – and there's Mark Schlabaugh coming on to defend his way to – or his latest edition of the Way Too Early Top 25. I'm sure all his in-laws and relatives and all are already calling the house, want to know why George is number 3 and not at least number 2. Jordan Reed, I was reading his mock draft this morning, and he is not 100% in line with Mr. McShay or Mel Kiper, which is what we like to see. And Jordan's going to join us to talk about what he thinks is going to happen in the draft. And then who is this at 6 o'clock? Who's that handsome silver-haired man right there? That's Dad, Dr. Jerry McGee, my father, long-time – if you know anything about me, you know I can't go more than 5 minutes without mentioning the fact that my dad was a college football official. And we wrote a book. We wrote this book last year, Sidelines and Bloodlines. I come in here today, and Paul, all these books back here.
Paul ain't got one. You need to give him one.
So before the show's over with, after I shamelessly hold it up 14 times during the show, but Dad will join us. Big weekend for Dad. He's the coolest guy you'll ever meet. And for years served on NCAA committees. I want to talk to him about, you know, what the role of the NCAA is going to be going ahead. I heard Jay Billis and Stu Mandel talking about that with Paul on yesterday's show. And then also, he was a small college president. There's some perspective there. He'll tell some stories about getting screamed at by coaches. And then also, he's the president of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame, and their induction is tomorrow night. Torrey Holt in North Carolina State. We have an ACC NC State. Greg Sankey's going to call any minute now. Why are we talking so much about NC State? Yeah, there you go. You can call us, as always. The number's right there, 855-242-PAUL. And we already have callers lined up. Billy in Philly. Welcome into the Feinbaum Show, bud.
Thank you very much. I was just calling. This is not an SEC call, but I call the show a lot, and I love the SEC. I think it's got the best sports program in America, and I think college football is the best sports program in America. But I think it's worth just mentioning the retirement of Jay Wright at Villanova. He has done everything that the best of the SEC coaches do, which is not rent a star, is to take players and make them better players and better people. And he's done that and, performed way over his weight class on a regular basis. And I think that the best coaches in the SEC do the same thing. It occurs to me that if you get the job at Missouri or Kentucky or Mississippi or Mississippi State, if you don't make your players better than what you got, you're lucky to win 5 games a year. And I think they do it, and I think they deserve great credit for it. I'm an Ole Miss fan, but I'm not, crazy like nobody matters but Ole Miss. That's my purpose and my call.
Well, thank you, Billy. And no, I'm glad you brought it up. And listen, all Jay Wright has done was he reestablished Villanova as a college basketball power, won a couple national championships, went to the Final Four 4 times, most recently a few weeks ago. And also, I joked about this on Twitter, kinda. He's best dressed coach in all of college basketball, and that's no exaggeration. And I semi joked on Twitter, hey, once they all went to track suits, Jay Wright was like, I'm out. I can't do this. But no, for real though, I talked to multiple coaches across college basketball, including in the SEC, and they have a big group text. And when they decided to kind of relax the rules and the shoe companies were like, could you start wearing the zip-ups and the tracksuit warm-up deals on the sideline instead of 3-piece suits? And they all waited until they talked to Jay Wright, like on the group text. They all literally waited what's Jay Wright going to do? And once Jay Wright said, all right, I'll wear sweatpants, that's what they all decided they were going to do. So I did not wear sweatpants here today. I wore a necktie because it's a big deal. Ryan McGee sitting there for Paul Feinbaum for the first time since 2019. You can join the fun, 855-242-PAUL. Hit us up. We're going to be settled in here for, gosh, a while. Hey, wait, I know that. Is that the Marty McGee theme? I hear the Marty McGee theme. Anytime now, Marty's going to come here and interrupt me.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show without Paul Feinbaum. Ryan McGee sitting in for the great hairless one. Can I call him that? Does he? I learned a long time ago. He doesn't listen or watch like when he's not on it. No. So I feel like I can say whatever I want. I don't feel like he's rolling back from the speaking engagement listening to the podcast later. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's a huge Marty McGee fan. So I think that's probably hey, speaking of which, Dickie in North Carolina is on the line. Dickie, what's up?
Ryan, man, I love you and Marty's show on Saturday morning.
Thank you,
when,
bro.
When football season starts back, are y'all planning on going back? I loved it on Wednesday nights, too. Are y'all planning on going back to, like, Wednesday night shows when football starts?
You know, we don't know what the plan is. I believe that we're going to go back on the road again on Saturday mornings because that was too much fun last year. But what we're doing outside of that, I always tell everybody, I got to get on the other side of the Indy 500. And then, right. then I'll talk about the fall. But yeah, but I think we're definitely doing some big stuff this fall. But I'm not exactly sure what the plan is. But Saturday mornings, we're going to be doing something, and I believe it'll be back on the road again. Because last year, we had too much fun. I got way too familiar with way too many bars throughout the SEC last fall.
Real quick, if you could have two off speedways back, Rockingham or North Wilkesboro, which one would it be?
Well, I was born in Rockingham. I'll be buried in Rockingham. So I'm excited about the news out of North Wilkesboro, but give me the rock, dude. That's my place.
I'm from North Wilkesboro, so vice versa for me.
Same deal, right, man. Hey, that's a no lose. I'll take either one of them at this point, right?
Right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate the kind words. Yeah. North Wilkesboro coming back there. You excited?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you be excited? Randall Hogg's on the line. What's up, man?
Hello, Raymond.
What are you doing?
Raymond?
Yeah?
Hey, can you get me an autograph, Raymond?
Well, first of all, I don't know who Raymond is.
Oh, I thought you were Raymond.
No, I'm McGee. I'm Ryan.
Oh, I'm sorry, McGee. I'm sorry. Hello, McGee.
Yeah, what's up,
can
man?
Can you send me an autograph?
Of who?
Marty Smith.
You want a Marty Smith autograph? No.
Yeah, you don't mind, do you?
No, I don't mind at all. Yeah. I
don't mind not getting it for you.
Yeah, I retired years ago from being Marty's photographer. I used to take a lot of pictures of Marty with people at racetracks, and then once we got a show with both their names on it, I was like, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I can send you a forged Marty Smith signature. I got that down.
Oh, come on, Ryan. Not a forged one.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be right.
You know who might be able to send you a Marty Smith autograph is Raymond,
Raymond.
Yeah, you get a hold of Raymond.
Okay, I guess I'll try to get a hold of him.
Yeah,
somebody told me you were hooked up with Marty Smith, so I thought I'd ask you.
Is Randall, are they serving him earlier in Arkansas today? Yeah.
It's the day after.
Are they serving him early? Yeah. Is there coffee in here? I don't think there is. Yeah. What was that?
I have no idea.
We're already. What is it? What time is? It's 3:20. We're barely into this thing.
Raymond McGee Show.
Yeah, Raymond is. I'm not sure what that was. Hey, Jay in South Carolina, what's up, bud?
I'm curious about one thing.
Yeah.
I got talked into chaperoning. I'm not a coach, but chaperoning the cross country team at Travelers Rest. And I want to know, were you the McGee that was on that cross country team in 1988?
I was. Go Devil Dogs.
Okay.
Who is this?
Well, I'm Jan Youngener.
I was a teacher at another school, and they didn't have a
cross country coach.
Yeah.
So they talked me into coming over there.
I remember you.
Being with y'all.
It's amazing.
I'm doing fine. I'm retired. I was at League Middle.
Yeah.
In Greenville County, and I'm just curious. I remember talking to you about your dad refereeing football games and all of that. And I heard you mention Travelers Rest. I thought, is that the same one?
That's me.
So you are the one.
I'm the one, Coach. Yeah, yeah. Hey, let me tell you all about Coach Youngener. He shows up.
Yeah.
We don't know who he is. I'm talking about you, Coach. He shows up, and he starts outrunning all of us. You were in way better shape than the rest of us. We were all like 16, 17
I ran, but I was. That's the only reason they got me to come over there. And I work with y'all.
Yeah. No, I remember it. I just moved there from Raleigh. We moved there for Raleigh because Dad took a job at Furman. Yeah. It's great to hear from you, Coach.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad to know. I can say, so you are the one.
I am the one. That's right. And you are okay. The one. It's good to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Enjoy talking to you.
Go Devil Dogs. Coach Youngener. Are you kidding me? I had no idea.
Your people.
We'll have to let him know that Dad, we got something to talk to Dad about it in the 6 o'clock hour. Right? Coach Youngener showed up. Yeah, he literally showed up from like the middle school. And I had come from a real serious program up in Raleigh, and I was kind of bummed about moving to South Carolina anyway. And Coach shows up, and literally, I mean, dude took off running, and we're like, oh, he's gone. We got to, it's like he's going to, yeah. He's setting the pace. Cat Daddy is on the line. Cat Daddy, what's up?
Yes, sir. You was at the South Carolina game. I saw that previously, and we were watching there at the Livingstone, watching Party Cat next door. Do you think that Rattler is going to be the next quarterback that's going to whoop Clemson's butt?
Here's the thing about Spencer Rattler.
I've
told a lot of people this because – my buddy Chris Lowe had a great story on ESPN.com on Friday leading into the South Carolina spring game. And it was about all these stories about Spencer Rattler's difficult in the locker room and doesn't get along with teammates and he's a diva and all this stuff. And I and Shane Beamer said it in the story because I don't know who that person is because that's not the person that I knew at Oklahoma. And I felt the same way because I'd heard all those stories. I didn't get up to Oklahoma at all last year. But here's what I learned about Spencer Rattler on Saturday night. First of all, he can play. I was on the field during most of the first half, and he can run. I have no idea why Oklahoma didn't run the ball more. See, Lincoln Riley. See, Paul's right. He didn't know what he's doing. But I tell you what I was impressed with, Cat Daddy, in the second half was what I saw from Spencer Rattler, not on the field but on the sideline. Because in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter, when all the walk-ons and the fourth stringers were getting into the game, he knew all their names. He was cheering them on like he'd been there for 4 years. He was talking to them. I mean, it was – the interaction on the sideline was very genuine. And so I think he's got a chance. If they can keep him upright, he's got – so all they did was they went and got the best offensive player from Wake Forest. They got the best offensive player from James Madison. They got their best wide receiver to come back for another year. And if they can keep Spencer Rattler on his feet, then, yeah, I think – I mean, we'll see about Clemson, but I think he's got a chance to put some numbers up.
Well, what was the toxic reason? He made the term that was toxic under Lincoln Riley at that USC. Can you explain a little bit more about why he would make a comment like this?
I don't know. I think that he was a little disenchanted because he went into the season with so much hype. Oklahoma, if y'all remember, Oklahoma last year was disappointing. Most of the headlines about Oklahoma last year didn't have anything to do with football. It was is Lincoln Riley going to LSU? And then all of a sudden he cut and ran to USC. I just don't think it was a very happy place to work last year. And so I think that's where that came from. And I think, and Chris Lowe wrote this in his story, I think that Spencer Rattler also got this rumor, this personality or whatever, tagged on him by that QB1 show, by that Netflix show. And, I can tell you firsthand, with the Formula One guys, they're a little, they don't like how they're being portrayed on this super popular F1 show right now. But it's reality TV. It is. And so I think some of that carried over. But, yeah, I mean, toxic is – that's everybody use that word now, right?
Yeah.
Is it toxic in here right now?
It's not.
It's toxic wherever that dude was calling from Arkansas.
That's right.
Looking for Raymond, who may or may not have a show with Marty Smith. It's me, Raymond McGee, sitting in for Paul on the Paul Feinbaum Show. We're going to be talking NFL draft with Todd McShay straight ahead. Please come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
The Paul Feinbaum Show is going to be live from Las Vegas. Can you imagine Feinbaum in Las Vegas? Because that's going to happen. That'd be next week, the 28th and 29th, regular time, 3 o'clock Eastern, right here on the SEC Network, the app and all that stuff. You know who someone else is going to be there? It would be Todd McShay. Hey, Todd, I don't know if you heard, but NFL draft is next week. You might want to take some notes or get some stuff ready for that.
You got it, man. Good heads up.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, so speaking of heads up, I mean, listen, I'm here in Charlotte. Everybody's on Baker Mayfield watch here now. Is there going to be a crazy trade? If you look into your crystal ball, and listen, I'm a sports writer, so I root for chaos. Is there chaos coming next week? And if it is, what's it going to be?
I think there could be chaos, but we just don't know where it's going to start. I mean, Carolina is the first team, and if they do make a deal for Baker Mayfield, you know, on draft weekend potentially, then they're out of the quarterback market, at least for this year, would be my guess. So then where do these quarterbacks fall? Because in my opinion, the only team in the top 10 that's considering these quarterbacks, Malik Willis from Liberty, Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh, is Carolina at 6. Atlanta at 8. I think they're going to take the best player available, maybe probably a wide receiver at that spot. And then at 9, Seattle, they like Drew Lock more than people want to kind of deal with and admit. So I think that they could take a quarterback in the second round. They pick at 40 and 41, but I don't think it's going to be quarterback then. So if you look at picks 10 through 19, there's no team in the market for a quarterback. And let's be honest, Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett are good quarterbacks. They have a chance to be solid starters in the league. Malik Willis has a higher ceiling. Kenny Pickett has a higher floor. But ultimately, they kind of belong in terms of their grades in the mid to late first round range. So you could see one or if not both of these quarterbacks fall to 20 if Baker Mayfield was brought into Carolina. And that would kind of, that would put them in the left tackle market, I should say, at the number six pick.
Yeah, well, you mentioned those quarterbacks. I saw Kenny Pickett in person for one half last year. I saw him on TV as everyone else did. But I've seen Malik Willis work out. I've been at Liberty practices. I was blown away by him then. It feels like at the end of the regular season in college football, it was Pickett's going to be the guy, and then maybe we'll see who takes Willis. Mm-hmm. And those guys have flipped. What has Willis done in the last 3 months to change that narrative?
Well, I don't know if they've flipped it. It really comes down to who you're talking to. I mean, I can have a conversation with a general manager from one team, and they'll say, we've got Malik Willis 1, Pickett 2, Ritter 3, Corral 4, Howell 5. And then I could talk to another team, and they'll say, well, we actually kind of like Ritter the most of these quarterbacks. And then another team would say Pickett. And then another team, I've had one team say that they're debating between Corral and Ritter as the number one quarterback in the class. So the opinions are all over the board in the league, and I think that's part of the intrigue in this draft is there are only a few teams in the first round that could legitimately take a quarterback. And when I look at it, then in the second round, there are some teams that might move around. But it could be a long night for Willis and for Pickett if things shake out, like you mentioned with Baker Mayfield. But for Willis specifically, anytime you have a player who has the strongest arm in the class, and right away when he's drafted, he's the third most dangerous runner at the quarterback position behind Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I truly believe that. So it's a heck of a jumping off point, right? But he's still just a 2-year starter at Liberty. He transferred from Auburn where he was going to be third in the depth chart. And there was talks about maybe even moving him out to wide receiver as an offensive weapon. So this guy, as Hugh Freeze has told me, he doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. And it's not his fault. He's a smart guy, very personable, great human being. I mean, everyone loves him coming out of the interviews with him. But he hasn't had a lot of experience in a pro-style offense with that kind of verbiage. It's going to be a culture shock for him when he gets to the NFL. So going to a place like Pittsburgh, where you've got Mitchell Trubisky in there, it could bridge a gap for a year or two while Malik is learning how to play the NFL quarterback position, I think would be perfect for him.
Yeah, well, there's something to be said for going old school and learning under a guy as opposed to throwing him in there like everyone wants to do these. You mentioned Matt Corral. We were on the SEC Network. He fascinates me, and he fascinates me because of his backstory, and he's the worst, and no one wants to deal with him, and there's this incident. And at Ole Miss, he's a loose cannon. But then the guy that we saw playing last year was a great quarterback, and I've talked to him so many times. What are you hearing about Matt Corral when you're talking NFL front office personnel?
Yeah, I mean, one GM said he's kind of like Braveheart. You know, if you're not with him on his side, like, you can't stand him. You drive him crazy. But everyone around him just like, I'll run through a wall for this guy. And he's a winner and a leader. And he'll carry the ball 30 times in the game if he has to. He did it at Ole Miss. His play style, he's got a temper because he doesn't have a big frame. He's not built like a Mike linebacker from the waist down like Malik Willis is. And durability is going to be a concern with him. So that's one reason you could see him fall out of the first round. The other is just, you know, going from that RPO-heavy style of offense and the fact that throws 20 yards down the field, 20-plus yards down the field, his accuracy really dropped off. Those are two of the big concerns with Corral. And then, what are you getting in terms of the maturity and who is he and does he know himself and what he wants to be? And those are questions legitimately that scouts and general managers have brought up to me. So he is a big-time wild card because you look at his short to intermediate accuracy, his mobility at the position, his snap release. He has the quickest release of all these quarterbacks. The mobility to extend inside the pocket and outside the pocket. There's a lot to like there, and that's why he's going to be a top 50 pick. I'm not convinced that he's going to go in the first round.
All right, so those are the guys who throw it. Tom McShay joining us to talk about the NFL draft. Those are the guys who throw it, and there's the guys who catch it. And I'm old enough to remember when the idea of Alabama being wide receiver U would get you laughed out of any sports bar. But Jameson Williams, I love Mechie. I spent a lot of time with that kid. Unfortunately, I have stood on sidelines with both of them injured in championship games, you know, just in December and January.
Yep.
You know, what's the book on those guys? And what's the approach to players who are overcoming injury that, you know, if they weren't, you'd probably plug and play with them as soon as the fall started?
Yeah, if you asked me after both of their injuries, I would have said Mechie might fall to the third. Jameson's going to go late in the first, but it's amazing what's going on with medicine today and how quickly these guys can recover from knee injuries. And Jameson's ahead of schedule. And when you put on the tape, this is what happens. You get in these the draft rooms, and you got scouts who have been following them all year. You get the medical team that's you know giving their input. And then you've got the coaches who were in such a bubble in the NFL all year long. But now the position coaches are going back, and they're getting some input watching the tape. It's like if I go watch tape of Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, Chris Olave, his teammate, Drake London, all these top receivers, Jameson's the best receiver. I mean, you'd have to be blind not to see that on tape. So if you're getting reports medically that are coming back that are saying he might be ready for training camp, and that's what you know some people have come out and said, well, it remains to be seen. But if you're confident that even if you're going to get him at full strength 5-6 weeks into the season, I'm taking that guy because this is a five-year investment in the first round. You get 4 years and then that fifth-year option. So I think he's the best in this class, and I think receiver coaches are going to see that. But it depends on what your situation is. Is it win now, or do you have to win to save your job in year one? You know, what is the situation? But Jameson Williams, to me, is the best receiver in this class because of the vertical ability and the ability after the catch. He's the closest thing to Tyreek Hill that this draft class has to offer. Mechie was the dirty work guy. I mean, I love him. And I think I said maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, I would have said third round. He's going to go in the second. He's too good of a player. Really good hands, knows how to get off the press. He does, like, if they need a third and seven, they're going to Mechie, not necessarily Jameson Williams. When they need the big play, they go to Jameson. And Mechie was so critical to what they did. Jameson's the star, but Mechie had the 92 catches this past year. So I just like his play, and I think he's really good after the catch, too, a very underrated part of his game. So he's going to be a really good number three starter in the league, and I think he's going to be pretty much ready to go.
There's always a guy, McShay, that I look at and I go, that dude looks like a New England Patriot. And Mechie has always looked like a New England Patriot to me. He just looked like he jumped right in
there. And Slade Bolden in the seventh round, by the way. Watch out for that one.
There you go. Write it down. By the way, that Spiders helmet is popping back there. That looks so good. That's the most underrated helmet in college football. So,
my guys.
There you go. All right, man. I appreciate it. Have a great week.
You got it, bud. You too.
There you go. Todd McShay. So McShay, I love that dude. I never see him. Like here, I see McShay once or twice a year during college football when he's working the sideline, and I just happen to be covering a game. But man, he's the best, and he's really, really good at what he does. You watch next week when all that stuff he just said happens in real life. Speaking of real life, we're here in real life for a while yet. You can call us 855-242-PAUL. Be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Am I allowed to yell that here? I yell that on Marty McGee all the time. I yell that all the time on Raymond and McGee. I'm not going to let that go. Raymond and McGee. He's called Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond. And Raymond, because Raymond will get you Marty's autograph, apparently. Right. It is the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Ryan McGee. Sitting in for Paul, 855-242-PAUL is the number. Thank you to Todd McShay for joining us. By the way, in the mock draft on ESPN.com, they did the deal where they alternate picks. McShay got a pick, Kiper got a pick, and McShay had the number one pick on the board being Aiden Hutchinson, the great quarterback destroyer from Michigan. And I was listening to the ESPN Daily podcast today with Pablo Torre, and Aiden Hutchinson was on there, and he is a huge Star Wars fan. Nice. So not only is he like a first-round draft pick, but he's a big Star Wars fan, so I'm he's my new favorite player. See, I got that to Hallmark Store. I'd love to tell y'all that's some exclusive Disney merchandise from Galaxy's Edge. That's from the Hallmark store down here at the Arboretum in Charlotte. You can call us, I think I mentioned it, 855-242-PAUL. And the lines are loaded, as they say. Buford in Kentucky is on the phone. Buford, what's up, bud?
I just wanted to compliment you and your partner there, Marty, on your segment last fall from the Tuscaloosa Restaurant for Bear Bryant. Eat breakfast 7 days a week. And that was called the Wayside Inn.
Yep.
That's the best show y'all have ever done.
Thank you, Buford. I appreciate that. Yeah, so when we did all the CFB 150 stuff, what, just a couple years ago, I had breakfast there, and they were like, come back anytime. So we brought the TV cameras back. Yeah, ham steak, eggs, and it's the best red eye gravy I ever had. Like, it's no exaggeration. And it's but Bear Bryant sat there every single day and smoked.
Yeah,
smoked his deals.
I remember.
And ate his ham.
Who do y'all do that yourself, or do your producers pick out the spot, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's a table right there for you to call, Buford. There's a table right there. And it's got like a bronze bust. I'm going to hit this microphone the whole show. It's got a bronze bust of the bear. And this is classic, like old school. Like there's like the paintings you can buy at the bookstore all over the walls and everything. And we literally sat down and said, just give us the Bear Bryant. You can just order the Bear Bryant breakfast. And again, I'm not a huge red eye gravy guy. And that's the best red eye gravy. I mean, it was crazy. And then the best was later on that day, apparently, Roman Harper came in there to like eat lunch because there's a big painting of Roman Harper in there, which I didn't know. If I'd known that, I would have gone and taken a selfie with it. I'd have gotten Raymond to take a picture of me with Marty, with the Roman Harper picture, with Bear Bryant's bust at the table. It was like Inception. It's like Redneck Inception.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that is. Skywalker is on the line. What's up? That's a great name. It's such a great name.
Hello?
Skywalker, you there?
No.
Okay. Luke Skywalker from Pineapple, Alabama. I didn't know that. Pineapple. Was that the town? Skywalker, you there?
Happy Pine Bomb 420, Dr. McGee.
Yeah, man,
hey,
what's going on?
I had it on mute.
That's all right.
I'm still celebrating from yesterday. I think you ought to put it to a tweeter boat. You need to leave the tie and coat to Paul. You look like you pull it off all right, but you look like the guy whose wife made him run back in and put on a tie. You need to bring a little Marty and McGee style to the show to wear a sweatshirt or a Wookiee suit or something.
Well, it is. I mean, I will say this. This is a tie. I just bought this tie at Disney World last week, and it's got Millennium Falcons on it. And I did bring my coffee mug and I brought a lot of it. Yeah, I got my chew up. Chewbacca coffee mug.
Had a dome.
Yeah. But I would cut it with scissors symbolically to say, all right, we're going Marty McGee. But I literally just paid a lot of money for this tie, so I can't do that. But, yeah, I saw Paul wears ties all the time. So I thought when I used to sub for him all the time, I wore ties. So it's just habit. But I apologize, Skywalker. I'll next time I will leave a tie at the house.
There you go. War damn eagle.
There you go.
War damn eagle.
War damn eagle. Did not know that the Skywalker family
was from Pineapple.
Pineapple, Alabama. It's not pineapple. It's Pineapple. Did not know that. I thought they were from Tatooine. But they're from Pineapple. I really did wrestle with what to wear because so I learned it. For years I was a TV producer and a writer and all that stuff. And then I started. They put me on TV a little bit. And the biggest shocker about being on TV is that everyone feels like they get to tell you what to wear. And it's almost exclusively from dudes. Like, that's the part that I didn't see coming. Like, why that tie's ugly, or why is your hair like this, or whatever. Your hair was blowing in the wind at Daytona. I get this stuff all the time. But it is almost exclusively from dudes.
Isn't that weird? You think chicks?
Well, just my target, my demo is usually like retired school teachers. And I thought that's who would be like, Ryan, that jacket just did not work. But I get it from Skywalker. Skywalker, one word, in pineapple, two words. We're talking about the draft. We're talking about the two early top 25 Slayball coming in just a minute to defend that mess.